The Flames Talk postgame show starts now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, let's get our Flames Talk postgame show underway on this Saturday night. Round three of the Battle of Alberta goes to Edmonton in overtime. Leon Draisaitl's 50th and then 51st ends up being the game-tying and game-winning goals, and the Flames get the 1 point, not the two, on this Saturday. Welcome to Rogers Place. Flames Talk postgame on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's Pat Steinberg, Megan Mickelson along with you from Rogers Place. Following this one, phone lines are open, 403-240-4444, text line 960-960. We'll get there shortly. Mick, I guess we'll start with the marquee matchup tonight, brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. And it was a hard-fought, tight, close Battle of Alberta. The Flames needed the 2 points more than the Oilers did, but they get the single point. What'd you make of back and forth and really hotly contested matchup tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a really good hockey game overall. A lot of back and forth, like you said. Great opportunities at both ends of the ice. I feel like you had it all. You had the chances at both ends. You had the physicality as well, and just what you expect in a Battle of Alberta. And then you have some overtime too. So, I mean, it was a really exciting game, obviously. And I liked the Flames game for the most part. I think Braden Pahal said it perfectly, sort of 55 to 56 minutes of the way that they need to play. Just not quite enough, though. But a really good hockey game overall.
Yeah, marquee matchup for Country Hills Toyota. It's time to Toyota at the giant Country Hills Toyota. The 2024 Toyota truck and demo blowout is on. Get financing as low as 0% OAC with zero down and no payments until September 2025. Let's select the hardest working Flame, Mick. Lots of candidates for this one tonight. Which way are you leaning on the hardest working Flame?
Well, I'm not going to give it to Nazem Kadri, mainly because I've given it to him the past two games. So maybe not three in a row. But yeah, I thought that, you know, there was a lot of guys who had some strong performances. Great to see Yegor Sharangovich, you know, find the score sheet once again. I thought he had a lot more pace and compete to his game. But I have to give it to Braden Pahal, and not just because of the fact that he got a goal and an assist, but I mean, he only played 12:08. His stat line is just squeaky clean. Three shots, two hits, two block shots, no giveaways. So I just thought that, you know, for what they want from him, I thought that he had a really, really strong game. And it is very hard to sit out and then come in and try to play that well. So I'm going to give it to him.
Braden Pahal is your hardest working Flame in this game this evening, a 3-2 overtime loss to the Edmonton Oilers. Okay, what could they have done anything more to keep Leon Draisaitl in check, or is that guy just a man on a mission tonight?
Well, I mean, the tying goal, to me, that was just a matter of not getting the puck in deep at the blue line.
Yeah.
And when you're trying to protect a lead, like, I mean, obviously you don't want to play on your heels, but you don't want to be too fancy. So that's just a situation to me where if you can just get the puck in deep there, then that rush the other way doesn't even happen. They looked a little bit discombobulated on the rush too, just because of how fast the Oilers transition on that play in particular, how fast they transition in general. So I think that, you know, that was maybe one area of their game where there were times where, you know, they could have gotten the puck in deep, whether they had the puck in the offensive zone and then it was a turnover kind of, you know, in that mid-range in the O-zone or, you know, just outside of the Oilers' blue line. You just have to get pucks in deep at that time.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, if there's anything on that play, it's just making sure that you're getting pucks in behind them. And then, I mean, you're playing in a building that is really loud in front of a fan base that is very passionate. So when a guy who's been out with an injury scores his 50th goal, the place is going to go bananas, and it's going to be pretty hard to try to get the momentum back in that one. And then they were just rolling from there.
They sure were. And then Leon, of course, wins it in overtime. You know, you mentioned Nazem Kadri. He impressed tonight. You named Braden Pahal the hardest working Flame. Yegor Sharangovich comes back into the lineup and makes it 1-0 early in the first period. I thought the pairing of Anderson and Ball had one of their better games in a little while. Anderson always seems to raise his game for a Battle of Alberta. Anything else that really stuck out for you tonight?
I mean, I really like the line of Farabee, Backlund, and Coleman. That was one line that really stood out to me. You know, I just think that they have really good chemistry, and I think that the Flames have found a good balance on that line of wanting a line that can play against other teams' top lines, but can also provide a little bit of a pop when it comes to offense. I felt like before Michael Backlund got hurt, I really liked that line. And since Michael Backlund's been back, I think they've been really strong as well. I thought Joel Farabee had an excellent game.
Absolutely. Yep.
Also, I thought that he was absolutely outstanding. And then I think the fourth line also, I mean, that's a bright spot. They continue to do their job. Adam Klapka has been really physical and have liked his game as well. So I would say, like, we talk a lot about those top two lines, but I think the third and fourth, or whatever, if you want to call them Michael Backlund's line, the third line, but the fourth line as well, were really strong. And so some really good depth up front, I think, was a good takeaway for me in this one.
Last question for you, Mick, and that is, hey, they needed the 2 points tonight. There's no doubt about it. That was definitely one that they had a lead late in the third period and let slip. But this team's been very good at not having and not allowing games like this, good, bad, gut punch, great win, whatever the case may be. They've done a great job of not allowing that to, you know, in the end, kind of derail them. They've been very good at flushing games, haven't they?
Yeah, and I mean, I think at the end of the day, like, as competitors and as professional athletes, like, this is a group that they have really good leadership that keeps that messaging consistent of, you know, we need to turn the page. And, you know, if you're as competitive as these guys are, then you know that you're still in it. You know that you still are, you know, well within reach of making the playoffs, no matter what the odds say. You look at the points and that's just where it stands. So, you know, you do have to, though, you know, turn the page quickly and make sure that, I mean, it's going to be important to try to pick up as many points as they possibly can, but just continue to take it one game at a time, I think, is a really important piece.
Get out of here. Thank you, friend. And we'll talk to you Monday in Colorado, hey?
Thanks, Pat.
Megan Mickelson signing off here at Rogers Place as the Flames fall 3-2 in overtime to the Edmonton Oilers. We're just getting started on our Flames Talk post-game show. Tonight's game has been brought to you by South Point Toyota. We'll take a break, come back with some Flames post-game reaction and a whole lot more. The phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Text lines open at 960-960. It's Steinberg along with you on your Flames Talk post-game show, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, and live right here. This is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Flames Talk post-game show continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Well, that's a tough one for the Flames, no doubt about it. And that was one that it kind of felt like they needed to have, especially with a 2-1 lead late. Now, the Oilers had a very impressive third period. I won't lie. Like, the Oilers pushed hard. After Braden Pahal made it 2-1 and the Flames had their second lead of the game, the Oilers completely took this game over and really had the Flames on their heels for the back, I want to say, like 11, 12 minutes of the third period. In saying that, that's still a bit of a stinger if you're the Flames. And because you had the 2-1 lead late, you were in a good situation to keep pace with St. Louis, and then it falls away. There's just not a whole lot else to say. I mean, the Flames did a nice job through 40 minutes of play, and I thought that they were even in good shape after taking the 2-1 lead, and I thought they were deserving of taking that 2-1 lead. But it definitely got away on them from there, and I just didn't like the way that the Flames tried to close this one out. And they've been generally quite good at closing out games. And, I mean, you take a look at how they did some of those or won some of those games on the most recent road trip. But on this night, yeah, that was That was a frustrating one because they kind of allowed the Oilers to keep on picking up steam as that third period went along. And then Draisaitl finally broke through. And, I mean, Draisaitl was out of his mind good tonight. And you were just hoping that the Flames might be able to stem that momentum a little bit. But eventually the Oilers broke through. And it just felt like once this game got to overtime, this is going to be an Oilers win. The Flames were just a little too on their heels in the third period, which is... That's the part that I would come away with from a negative standpoint, is that you have the one goal lead and you sat back a little bit too much, and that allowed Draisaitl and the Oilers to come back at you. Third period, Oilers were 72% 5-on-5 possession, 26-10 were the shot attempts in the third period. High danger scoring chances at 5-on-5 were 5-1 Oilers. And so that just that's allowing a team, even shorthanded, to build momentum, and that eventually did them in. I like Calgary's first 40. Thought there were some really good individual performances tonight. Thought Kadri was strong again. Thought the pairing of Anderson and Ball were really strong tonight. I thought that Farabee looked really good, and that line had a solid, hardworking night. So there were some good things, and this was all not an all bad night for the Flames. Sharon Govich returned to the lineup and scores. Thought he had a good start to this game and maybe kind of faded as the night went along. Good first 40 minutes of play, but let's not mince words at this point. We're into the final 10 games of the season now. The Flames needed the 2 points tonight, especially when you've got a 2-1 lead late in the third period. Unfortunately, they don't get it. 20 points still left on the table. 7 back of St. Louis with 3 games in hand. Okay, yeah, this is your Flames Talk post-game show on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's Pat Steinberg with you from Rogers Place here in Edmonton. The phone lines are open at 403-240-4444, and your text line's open at 960-960. We'll get there very shortly, but now it's time to go from the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostat and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. Let's start by hearing from the head coach, Ryan Huska. He just wrapped up here in Edmonton following this 3-2 overtime setback.
Coach, that's two in a row. Well, I guess I should ask you first, what did you think of the performance?
I thought we were okay, would probably be the way I put it. I thought we had some guys that had good nights. Naz, you know, played hard again tonight for us and was the guy that was generating. I felt like our overall pace of our game wasn't as good as it was the night before.
Can you take me through the two goals, the two Draisaitl goals? The first one, and just too much of a gap that was left for him to get in?
No, I think it's more about the play in the neutral zone. Like from where I was, it's more about just making sure you're skating through that puck to get it in deep instead of trying to make a play at that point. And then when it's turned over, we have everybody going the wrong direction, and he's got the room because of that.
Okay, and the game winner, it's just...
We lost the guy down low, and that's with good players or good shooters. You don't want to leave that player in a position to shoot like that. Yeah.
Brian, what did you see from your team in the third after you took the lead?
It was a little bit like the whole game for me. There was parts of it we did like. There was other parts where I thought we sat back and, again, just didn't have that assertiveness or that killer instinct tonight that I thought we needed. So it's a tougher one, but again, as we said over the last little while, you have to quickly turn the page and move on and get ready for our next one.
The fact that your two scorers were both healthy scratches the game before, does that speak to just how it's all hands on deck and we're going to need everybody to get through this?
Yeah, it has to be. I mean, you don't expect Braden to come in and score a goal. It was a big goal for us at the time, for sure. And I thought he came in and did a really good job for us. And you could say the same for Sharon. I mean, we talked this afternoon about Naz is kind of driving his line. And Yegor didn't have to be the guy that had to get it going. He just had to compete. And I thought he was better for us tonight.
When it comes to Draisaitl, it's one thing to game plan against him all you want, but at the end of the day, you were kind of victimized by the best goal scorer on the planet right now.
Yeah, he's one of the best, if not the best, in the NHL this year. So he's a very good player, but I do think when you have someone of his caliber and you give him the room on the ice and you have him... you allow him to shoot the puck as much as he did tonight, eventually he's going to break through and score. So I don't think we did a good enough job against him tonight.
think of your fourth line tonight?
I thought they brought energy for us when they were on the ice.
There you go. That is head coach Ryan Huska postgame tonight here in Edmonton following that 3-2 overtime loss to the Oilers. And let's also hear from Nazem Kadri. Two more points from number 91, a couple of primary assists, and on this night, his first primary assist ends up being his 700th career point. He is up to 701 career points after another multi-point game here in Edmonton. Nazem Kadri always brings it in these Battle of Alberta games, and he brought it again tonight. Let's hear from Nazem post-game this evening as well.
Nazem, how tough is it to lose that extra point?
Pretty tough. It's definitely not easy, but you know, what are you going to do? Good player makes a couple nice shots, and yeah, it's unfortunate.
Do you feel like you guys deserved better tonight?
Yeah, but we didn't get it. So, I mean, at the end of the day, that's what matters is the result, and you know, it's disappointing.
Can you take us through that third period? You had the lead, and then what happened after that?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. I feel like we had a couple opportunities to maybe add to our lead, and not quite sure what happened on the goal. I'd have to watch it again, but, you know, just, I guess, nice shot and tie game, and, you know, it's up for grabs at that point.
What's your perspective on overtime? It looked like you guys had a lot of really good chances right before you turned around and they scored.
Yeah, we did. You know, that's kind of how it goes. You, you know, trade a couple chances here and there, and, you know, it just comes down to, you know, who can get that bounce, and, you know, fortunately for them, that was on their side tonight.
You feel like you've seen that movie before with Draisaitl?
Yeah, good player. I mean, you give him too much space, he's going to make you pay. So, you know, we saw that firsthand tonight.
Did you feel like you guys controlled the game for the bulk of it anyway?
We did. Really liked our game, actually. Felt like we didn't really give up a whole lot either. So, you know, it sucks not to come out with 2 points, but, you know, 1 point's 1 point.
That's two games in a row where you probably deserved a better fate, or at least you guys felt really good about your efforts and didn't get the results. How do you make sure that doesn't, you know, wear on you guys?
I mean, you can't get discouraged. I think that's encouraging more than anything. I mean, you know, that's the funny thing about hockey. Sometimes you play great and you lose, and sometimes you don't play so great and win. So, I mean, you know, we do that. We continue to repeat that. I think I like our chances.
There you go. Nazem Kadri, his thoughts after another multi-point game. Kadri was outstanding again for a good chunk of this hockey game, and he comes away with point number 700 and 701, a couple primary assists in this 3-2 overtime loss. You've heard from head coach Ryan Huska, also heard from Nazem Kadri, and that's our look from the Flames dressing room tonight, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. It's Steinberg along with you on your Flames Talk post-game show on this Saturday night. We're coming at you from Rogers Place in Edmonton, where the Flames do end up falling 3-2 in overtime. 72 down, 10 to go this regular season. The phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. We're jammed on the phone lines tonight, but they are open to you, and we'll get to them very shortly. But let's get to the text line for the first time at 960-960. Dave says, season over, proud of the team. I don't know. Yeah, this is a dagger. There's no doubt about it. This one is a big-time stinger. Is it season overtime? I don't think so, and I certainly don't believe that's the way the Flames will be looking at this. I don't think they'll be looking at it in that regard in any way, shape, or form. Scotty in Victoria says, took our foot off the gas pedal in the third, and they came back. Fun battle of Alberta, but disappointing ending. Their playoff hopes look grim. And yeah, that was the story of this game. I mean, they did. And I don't think they purposely took their foot off the gas, honestly. I think that they looked a little gassed. I think they looked a little tired. The Oilers were a little fresher. And I don't think there was any like purposeful letting off at all. I just think that in the end, they have the one goal lead. They were, you know, they did look like there was a little fatigue in their game, and I'm not trying to use that as an excuse by any means, but I do think that you saw that as that third period went along, and then as soon as that Oilers team and head coach Chris Knobloch started double shifting Draisaitl over and over and over again, like there were stretches where I'm like, is that guy going to come off the ice? And when you let 29 start to build like that, it becomes a little bit of an issue as well, and I think that that happened. So, Mike says, the Flames are often McDavided, but tonight they were Draisaitled. Jim says, another solid minus performance for Rasmus. The green jacket will soon be his. Jim in Cranston's not a Rasmus Anderson fan. I actually thought Rasmus Anderson had a spectacular game tonight, so we can agree to disagree on that front. Trent says, the Flames tried hard. Good road game, but an unfortunate ending. Sucks watching TV, and the announcers are clearly Edmonton biased. Next season is going to be in Zane. How about Zane Parekh and the Saginaw Spirit? They've given up two straight nine spots to open up their OHL playoffs. They lose again 9-5 to Erie, so they're now down 0-2 to the Erie Otters in the OHL playoffs, which is kind of interesting. Claude writes, Pat, well, I do miss the days of Cassian and Tkachuk. Tonight's Battle of Alberta didn't disappoint. They did need the 2 points, but Drysdale's a killer. Pahal was great tonight, and there was some other Flames that really stood out. I wonder if Rasmus is still fighting through some lingering injuries, and maybe his minutes should be dialed back. I've started to give up the thought the Blues will eventually lose. Glad to hear that Zeri dodged another bullet of sorts. That comes from Claude. Well, on the front of Rasmus, I think he's definitely playing through something right now, almost unquestionably. He hasn't taken morning skate now for a couple consecutive games, has played, but I think Rasmus is definitely playing through something as it stands right now, probably related to the block shots that he ate on Tuesday in that comeback win over Seattle. Dylan and Revy says, pretty hard to swallow that they have to deal with elite talent on the other side of the biggest rivalry for basically 30 years, and they can only have it done for like 4 years. Ken says, I stand by my text from Tuesday night. Garbage, absolute garbage. This team cannot sit back and try to protect a lead. They simply are not capable of holding a lead to save their season. Hope the Wranglers and Hitmen and Calgary Canucks can have deep playoff runs, because that's the only playoffs that's going to be played in the city this year and for the foreseeable future with this squad. That comes from Ken, not happy with the result. This reads, Pat, Leon Draisaitl was the best player on the ice. He stepped up and won that game for Edmonton. The Flames need a difference maker like him in their lineup in the future. The best chance to acquire those players is in the top 10 of the draft. We saw the same thing in the Dallas game. You can be the second best team on the ice, but if you have that true difference maker, anything can happen. Well, I mean, the only thing I'd say on the Dallas front is Dallas's difference makers were either drafted outside of the top 10, at least on Thursday. I guess Rantanen, I believe, was like a ninth overall pick, but they didn't even draft Rantanen. They acquired Rantanen. But, you know, Rantanen, I believe, was a top 10 pick off the top of my head, but Roope Hintz was not. Jason Robertson was not. Those guys were not top 10 picks. I don't believe Thomas Harley was a top 10 pick when he got drafted by the Stars. Ottinger didn't play in that game, but he's not a top 10 pick. Harley was an 18th overall selection, and he was a massive part of that win. You know, Dallas is maybe the wrong example outside of Haskinen, who was a third overall pick and is a pretty incredible hockey player. But I also understand the gist of that text. Pat, how come the Flames and Oilers only play three times this year? I got nothing for you on that. I think it's completely ridiculous, and there should never be a year where these two teams only play three times, let alone twice in 3 years, but I digress. Javier says, I don't know, Pat, the Flames have definitely exceeded expectations for this year, but are by far a long ways off from being a solid contender in the playoffs. The fact they're not scoring enough goals and their defense is nowhere to be seen, at least in their own end of the rink, it's something that they're going to have to take a closer look at, not only for the rest of the year, but going forward. The reality is, if they're going to be competing with the Drysdales and the McDavids of this conference, they're going to have to toughen up a lot more and somehow find a real bona fide scoring touch. If they miss the playoffs, what should be their next move? Well, honestly, if they miss the playoffs, they miss the playoffs. If they miss, then you just keep on building the way that they've been building. And I don't think you need to do anything different than what you've done. In that, I do think there's a group that has prioritize the big picture and prioritize the future. And so if they miss the playoffs, they miss the playoffs. If they end up falling short, which could very well happen, they're seven back and now have the three in hand. It still is a year that there's a lot of things that you can build on. And the big picture is still the thing that's most important for this group going forward. Brad says, well, this was the Flames game to lose, and they did just that, fell flat on their face at the end. Sorry to say, but with all the changes, they're going to end up in the same place as always, just on the outside looking in with another mediocre pick as a result. Oh, and then lose their pick to Montreal. I guess, though, they are younger whilst failing. Wedley says, got a point. Don't dream it's over. This says two things. Frost needs to be harder on that puck in the third. They should have never been able to tie the game on that play. Kadri's been a stud, but he sure makes some stupid decisions that seem selfish. I get it. He's basically their only hope of scoring half the time, but trying to go short side on the overtime chance is so low percentage. You can't do stuff like that on 3-on-3. But I do love the way this team competes. They're not that far off and still fun to watch. Kyle writes, unfortunate series of events tonight. Not the outcome they wanted. I think the game was pretty even, but that wasn't the same Flames team we've seen against Dallas. I think tonight was Wolf's worst night. All three of those goals were him versus the shooter. It's Draisaitl, so it's a hard shot to stop, but I do think tonight he wasn't the Wolf we've seen lately. Not blaming him. They still had to go through five other guys. I don't think the playoffs are in reach anymore at this point, but it is a great season either way. I do feel like they were weak defensively. Anderson was on the ice for all three goals tonight, and it seems that's a common theme. Is that because he plays 25 a night? What are your thoughts? I do think some of the minuses that Raz has eaten this year are on him. Tonight, I feel like the plus-minus stat doesn't necessarily tell the story. I thought that Rasmus had a really strong game, especially in the first 40 minutes of play. However, much like the team around him, the third period, just everybody kind of found themselves on their heels. And so I actually didn't mind Rasmus's game tonight, despite the dash three that he ends up with, or whatever it ends up being. I don't have a game sheet in front of me. Let me pull that up. I usually have a paper game sheet in front of me, but I don't have that right now here in Edmonton. So the final number on Anderson was dash two. So I feel like that may be a little misleading tonight. And again, like on the overtime goal, that's not on Anderson. Yeah, he gets a minus, but that's not on him. The other goal that he's on the ice for was, well, he was on the ice for all three of the Oilers goals, or two of the Oilers goals, rather. But the Draisaitl 50th goal, again, that one wasn't so much him. That was a soft play in the neutral zone and not on Raz. So I thought tonight Raz actually had a pretty good game. And I've been critical of Rasmus for sure, and deservedly so, because it hasn't been a great year for him. But tonight I thought the minus two wasn't indicative of the way he of the way he played tonight. This reads from Bob in Red Deer. Kadri giveth, Kadri taketh away. Not a great shot opportunity, and it led directly to the Edmonton goal. Not totally his fault. Draisaitl's a machine. Going with Wolf tonight surprised me. Vladar's been great against Edmonton, and he's been hot recently. Wolf's been pretty cold since he got shelled in Toronto, and I didn't love his game tonight. How are the roads up there, Pat? Pretty crummy here today. Actually, when Francis and I drove up, seemed like everything was normal. Highway 2, normal. Edmonton roads, normal. So we were worried because of what we saw on Friday night, but by the time we got here Saturday morning, it was fine. As for Wolf and Vladar, I was a little surprised at first when they were when I got the word they were going Wolf tonight. However, I do think when you think about it, Wolf is this team's number one. And I think in a situation where you're playing 3-4, you want to start it off with a victory. You're coming off a frustrating loss to Dallas on Thursday. I get them going with their number one. And the more, you know, Maddie and I talked about it on the pregame show, Maddie Rose and I, and it just, the more you thought about it, yeah, I mean, you go with your number one in a battle of Alberta. I don't have a problem with that at all. Do I think this is a great night for Wolf? I thought he was actually pretty solid. Thought he had to make some quality stops on Draisaitl throughout the night as Leon had himself a transcendent game here. Draisaitl finished the night with 8 shots and 12 attempts. And yes, 2 of them beat Wolf. But, I mean, that's one of the most deceptive shots in the NHL. The 2-2 goal does beat him from the outside, but that's Draisaitl going wide side, and that's just a perfectly placed shot for his 50th, and the overtime winner. That's a tough one to pick up. Did I think that Wolf stole this game? No. Do I put this one on his shoulders? No, I also don't do that. Brendan in Invermere says, Pat, they're cooked. Disappointed doesn't even to begin how I feel. I thought this year would be different, but here we are in the mushy middle. Same old, same old. Yes, the game was good. Yes, the effort was there, but it's like this every year. The Flames will not be making the playoffs, and they'll be sending their better first-round pick to Montreal. A very tired of the same old Flames fan. This reads, Pat, honest question. Do you think Wolf's starting to look tired? He still is an elite goaltender, but I'm starting to see goals getting by him that maybe wouldn't have earlier this season. The playoff hope isn't over yet. Let's keep the faith, Flames fans. And I am curious. My guess is they go Vladar in Colorado and then back to Wolf against Utah on Tuesday. Yeah, there have been a few the last four games, six periods rather, last two games that, and even the goal that Karche scored against Seattle. So last three games, yeah, there's been a few that have gotten past him that maybe we're not used to seeing get past him. Could that be a product of a full NHL season catching up to him? Could very well be. I don't know for sure, but that could very well be the case. James in Regina says, it has to be pretty disheartening for the players to go 4-1-1 in their last six and go from 2 points out of the playoffs to now being seven out. There was way too many turnovers in the neutral zone when they had the lead in the third period. That's got to be a win if you want to be a playoff team. It's been a fun season, but I feel like this loss is all she wrote. Daryl says, let's look at the I don't know what this is supposed to be. I don't know what this text is trying to say. It looks like it's voice to text, and I'm having a hard time. I'm having a hard time reading what the text is supposed to be. I'm usually pretty good at voice to text. Apparently not tonight. And finally, Rick in Lakeview. Before we hit the phone lines, Pat, I think the boys deserved a better outcome for the second game in a row, but they've run out of time for moral victories. One observation is that the inability to gain the zone during the power play is too often an Achilles heel. Someone please explain to me the seemingly mandatory need to bump back. For the love of Lanny, they at times travel through opponents backwards in doing it. Brutally predictable and often dysfunctional. Damn those St. Louis Blues, keep going Flames, no criticizing the effort, that's for certain. That comes from Rick in Lakeview. Great stuff on the text line so far tonight at 960-960. Flames lose this one 3-2 in overtime to the Edmonton Oilers here at Rogers Place in Edmonton. My name is Pat Steinberg, high above the ice surface here at Rogers Place as we are well underway on your Flames Talk postgame show, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts, live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Let's get to the phone lines for the first time tonight, 403-240-4444, and let's kick it off by saying hello to Bruce. Bruce, you're starting us off on the phone lines tonight. What's going on?
Hey, Pat, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Pat, I'm okay, but I'm feeling a little emotional from the game. Obviously, fan since 83. I still remember when my junior high school principal announced the Flames were moving to Calgary. Loved them ever since. But boy, I am tired of the mushy middle.
Yeah, this one was a bit of a stinger for you tonight.
Yeah, I'm looking for positives. One positive I see is Huska. You know, he wasn't a slam dunk for the coach, but if you look at it, he sure does have a read. The fact he put the defense core he did out there tonight instead of Miramanov was great. And Klapka, it was the first time I really felt there was something there with Klapka in the first two periods.
I mean, I actually have kind of liked him over the last few games. He's been impactful in his role, and he's kind of been all around it over the last few games. So I liked him on that road trip. I've liked him in the last few games. I liked that fourth line tonight. They definitely gave the Flames an opportunity to generate and to kind of keep momentum going when that line was out there. But I'm with you. I like Klapka tonight, but I've actually liked his game here for the last few games in a row.
It's just a little disappointing, as again, I think you'd have to call me Team Tank all year, and you watch these guys, you just want to root for them, and a little sad tonight because you do feel like we're headed to that same peak pain place that we didn't want to be.
And I hear that. Here's what I would say, Bruce, and I do get that. But the reason why they have been competitive and maybe make it, maybe miss, the reason why has, or part of the reason why, a good chunk of the reason why, are young, important pieces on this team going forward, right? Like, you've got Dustin Wolf, who is the number one reason why they are where they are, and he's their 23-year-old goaltender of the future. And Matt Coronato is having a really good season, and he's, what, 22 years old? And, you know, and then you throw in Kevin Ball, who's playing every night, and he's 24. And Connor Zary's a big part of this. And, yeah, and yes, other parts of it are Kadri and Huberdeau and mainstay veteran players who are not going to be big parts of the future the same way some of these other guys are. But the fact that they're here and mainly on the back of Dustin Wolf, that to me mitigates the frustration of potentially being in that middle, mushy middle again, because they have overachieved in almost every metric this season. And so where they are, being where they are, you know, they're not here if it's not for Dustin Wolf's spectacular play. And so I guess for a team that's trying to get younger and for a team that is trying to build for something more than just this year, the fact that Dustin Wolf, who is going to be a part of that big picture, is the biggest reason why they've been able to exceed expectations this year, that to me does come across as a pretty large positive.
Well, I'm just hoping the next generation of guys like Muse and Parekh advance very, very quickly so we don't waste Dustin Wolf's best years.
Well, when it comes to goalies, though, I don't know. Like, Dustin Wolf's best years are probably still to come here. Like, he's only 23. We're talking about most goalies start to get into their best groove at the age of, like, 27, 28. So I think there's lots of good still to come with Dustin Wolf.
Let's just hope that young pipeline comes along quickly to help him.
Agreed. Agreed on that front.
Thanks again, Pat. Really appreciate you.
Bruce, you be well. Appreciate the call. Keep them coming at 403-240-4444 on this Saturday night. The Flames fall by a 3-2 score in overtime to the Edmonton Oilers. It's Pat Steinberg along with you from Rogers Place in Edmonton. Let's say hello to George. What's up, George?
Not much, Patty. How's it going in Edmonton?
It's I'm here in Edmonton. That's all you need to know.
I know. Trust me, but I lived very close to there for 12 years, but at least the area you're in is nice. I have to admit, they did a good job with the Ice District and the Rogers.
You can't call it the Ice District. It's just Ice District. They get mad at you if you call it the Ice District.
Ice District. Anyway,
exactly.
They spruced up Edmonton a little bit in that area, so that's good for them.
Agreed.
I don't know, man. You know, I hate to be that guy too, but I'm with Bruce. Like, for me, that's all she wrote. It's going to take pretty much a miracle to make the playoffs now. And it's funny, I don't even want to even talk about St. Louis right now. St. Louis is making the playoffs. I mean, I take my hat off to them, first of all. We could sit there and say they beat easy teams and they had an easy schedule. And while all that's true, they still rolled off 9 in a row. And tonight they beat a Colorado team, you know, in Colorado. Like, hats off to them. Good for them.
Yeah, and I believe, didn't the Avalanche have, like, an 11-game home winning streak into this game tonight? So, yeah, I mean, it's tough to take anything away from what the Blues have done here. And I know that there are some who have maybe dialed in on Minnesota as the team to be caught, and maybe that it does end up being the case here, that Minnesota falls back to the pack a little bit. They lose today, of course, to New Jersey. So we'll see. But yeah, I mean, it's been an uphill climb for a little bit here, and it's definitely an uphill climb now as they sit 10th in the conference. They're a point back of Vancouver with one in hand. They're 7 back of St. Louis with 3 in hand, and 7 back of Minnesota with 2 in hand. Now, they do have the head-to-head with the Wild coming up on Thursday, so we'll see if that ends up being see how close they are when they get to that game. That could end up being important. So we'll see. We'll see what it all, how it all kind of plays itself out here.
Yeah, we sure will. I'll make one comment quickly, a little bit off topic, then we'll get to the game and the Flames. But if I'm Winnipeg, I'm praying that they're playing Minnesota instead of St. Louis, because I honestly believe St. Louis can beat Winnipeg. I'm not even joking.
Yeah, we'll see, man. I mean, sometimes the red-hot team, like the St. Louis Blues in 2019, you get in and you go on, and all of a sudden you're a juggernaut come the postseason. Sometimes you get red-hot and you get in and you do nothing. But I hear what you're saying. I mean, I think Winnipeg's going to be heavily favored against whoever they play. For whatever reason, I'm still not a full-on buyer of what Winnipeg is selling. They're a good team, don't get me wrong, and they've got an elite goaltender. And like, it's not like I think that they're not a good team. I'm just not, you know, completely convinced that they're as big a juggernaut as perhaps they look in the standings right now. That being said, St. Louis Winnipeg in round number one was the same first round matchup when the Blues won the Stanley Cup in 2019. So we'll see how it all plays itself out here.
Yeah, absolutely right. So Nazem Kadri refuses to quit. He continues to put this team on his back, and I just have so much admiration for him. It's just, I know that it at the end of the season, it may not look great on paper because he may only end up with 65, maybe close to 70 points. But it's the fact is that this is a low-scoring team, and we've talked about how the system kind of prevents it from scoring. Nazem Kadri, to me, is having a whale of a season. Like, he's just, like, he especially lately, he's impressed me so much. Like, I think when you look at the points on paper, it really understates how important he is and how impactful he's been. And then, again, Huberto right behind him there, you know.
For sure.
You know, and you hope that can carry over to next season with those two guys. I know they're going to both be a year older, but, you know, you hope it can because they've been good at what they've done. They've been good leaders, so... But I'm going to mention Kadri every show if I have to because, you know, the way he's been playing right now, he deserves all the praise and accolades. So really, really good on him. And then do you think Calgary will sign this Adar Suniev kid this year, Patty? And if so, do you think that they'll give him some games at the end of the season?
Whether they give him games at the end of the season, I don't know. I would, depending on if they're out, maybe. But I do think they will sign Suniev. Yeah, I think that Suniev and Sergeyev, both guys, you got a pretty good chance of seeing them signed. So I do think they'll try to get both done. Whether or not the players' camps decide to go down that road, that you know, is still on the players, of course. But I think the Flames anyway will attempt to try to sign both guys. Yeah, and whether or not a guy like Suniev plays in the NHL, I think would depend on whether or not the team is still fighting for the playoffs. And I think the similar is true for Zane Parekh. I mean, his team is now down 0-2 in round one of the playoffs. They've allowed 18 goals in two games. And so if Parekh is done and the team is a little more out of it, I think there's a chance that we might see Parekh play some NHL games before the end of the year. If they're fighting tooth and nail and they need a win, maybe not. But, yeah, I think those are a couple of things that you can look for.
Yeah, I love the fact that Suniev is a pure goal scorer. How, I don't know how much you know about him, but how would you compare him to Matt Coronato at all?
A little bit more dynamic from what I've seen in terms. Not to say Matt's not dynamic, but there's a little bit more flash in Suniev's game. He's definitely a pure shooter, and he definitely has a great shot, no doubt about it. But a little bit more kind of flashy the way he goes about his business, and maybe a little bit more of an outside shooting threat even than Coronato is. So yeah, maybe and I think the skating maybe is a slight bit of an advantage on Suniev's side of things. And then Coronato, his work ethic, his hockey sense, his defensive game would be areas that I think he would be superior to Suniev in. But, I think there could be some mild comparisons there. But, yeah, Suniev looks like a really exciting player, man. And there's a guy that you got as part of the Tyler Toffoli trade. Well, he was the draft pick they got in the Toffoli trade. And 2 years in college, he's looked pretty good, man.
Yeah, he most definitely has. The more goal scoring, the better. So, great stuff, Patty. Have a safe trip home back to Calgary from Edmonton. And I do want to give out my thoughts and best wishes to the person who had the medical emergency in Edmonton today. That was awful. That was I didn't know what was going on at first. When they stopped the game, it was, and then, you know, when you started hearing rumblings of what was going on, that's horrible. I hope that person's okay, and I my best wishes to them and their family.
Yes, agreed. Thanks, George.
All right, buddy. Have a great night.
You too, pal. 403-240-4444. That's your phone number following a Flames 3-2 overtime loss to the Edmonton Oilers here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Let's say hello to Anand on the phone lines tonight. What's up, Anand?
Good evening, buddy. How are you this evening?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
It was good to see you. And it was, like you said, my first game out of the Saddledome at an NHL arena, first of all. Hopefully that person who had that medical episode, hopefully they're all right and recover soon. But I think it's kind of fortunate that the medical staff were nearby. Wishing them all the best. Moving on to the game, I think Pahal and Cherenkovich, especially after coming back, had an excellent game getting on the scoreboard. What did you think of both of them tonight?
I thought Cherenkovich was good in the first period. I thought he kind of faded and was somewhat of a non-factor in the final 40 minutes of play. I thought Pahal had himself a nice night all night. He was physical, obviously scored the goal. I thought Pahal had himself a pretty nice night, though, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I thought the Flames had it in the books, especially when they got that 2-1 lead, but I think they let the... Like you said, Leon Draisaitl hang around, and then they lost it in overtime. But yeah, I'm grateful I got to see you. I got to see all the broadcast crew, and it was an awesome night. Awesome night despite the loss. Looking forward to the one in Avalanche next. And have a good night. Talk to you soon. Take care.
Okay, Anand, be well, buddy. Phone lines are wide open. We got a couple of lines open as we've gone through a couple of calls pretty quickly here. So call now if you want to chat on this Saturday night into Sunday morning, 403-240-4444, as Buff is up next on our Flames Talk postgame show tonight. What's up, Buff?
How's it going, Pets?
Not much, tough man. One. How are you?
Well, it's a tough one tonight. You know, obviously, like the last two games, I thought we should have had both of them. But it's just, I don't know, it's just sometimes the hockey gods work funny. And
yeah, this one was less about the hockey gods than Thursday was, for sure, at least in my mind. Like, this one was more about a team that just couldn't lock it down in the third. They had themselves a lead, and they just let the Oilers the Oilers gain a ton of momentum and come back at them.
I thought they played well, and of course they should have won. The hard part for me is, like, we had a couple of power plays, and we couldn't do anything, you know. And I hate to reference the Oilers, but, you know, when they have a power play, Hyman's right on the front, on top of the goalie all the time. And they generate chances like there's no tomorrow. And I see other teams do that, you know, that we play against. You know, someone's on top of the goalie, and we just can't do that. You know, having a bruiser in front of the net, I think, would be great. And I think we'd generate some shots and chances, you know. But, you know, it's about not being predictable, and I think that's probably the biggest thing, is we're very predictable once we get in the zone. But I don't know, that's the hard part, and I think those special teams make a big difference.
Yeah, tonight especially, had they been able to get a power play goal, would have been a huge difference. And I didn't love the power play tonight. Thought it was a little pedestrian tonight. Had they been able to find one, could have gone a long way, and then been able to maybe extend a lead or something like that, or have a lead for longer or whatever the case may be. You know, Huberdeau's kind of taken over that role as the net front guy, and he's done a pretty good job at it. He's potentially going to get back to 30 goals as a result from, you know, playing a lot in that area. I mean, they also don't have the personnel that an Oilers team does. They don't have a Draisaitl. They don't have a Hyman. Yep. I do agree that the power play could have really helped them in this game tonight.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, God rest his soul. I you know, Johnny was unbelievable. When he get that bump back and he'd dance into the zone and get the power play set up, you know. And I hope, you know, going forward, we can find someone that has that type of skill set, you know, with the speed and the hands, and just to be patient and smart, you know. But you know, and the one thing that really bothered me is, you know, this guy, I despise tried to take a round out of our captain, and I call me old school. I would have did something about that, you know, if not in the third period right away. You know, someone shouldn't be doing that to our captain. And
I was actually wondering about that. I was wondering if they were gonna, if there was gonna be some carryover from that, because Perry jumps Backlund, and you know, I was wondering if there might be a little spillover from that. And I wonder if, because it was a tie game and the Flames scored in the first 8 minutes and had the 2-1 lead, I wonder if they, you know, just were actively trying not to engage in any extracurricular stuff. But I did wonder if there was going to be any type of spillover from that late second period kind of melee there, where Perry ended up jumping Michael Backlund. And it would have been nice. I mean, wasn't a lot of fourth line minutes in the third period. So, you know, for a guy like Lomberg, maybe not a ton of opportunity to get out there and do anything about it. But I was wondering if there would be anyway.
Oh, yeah. Not only Lomberg, you know, there's other guys that could have done it, you know, and just, you know, ask the question, you know, do you want to bring the crowd to their feet?
Now, knowing Corey Perry, here's the problem. Like, Perry wasn't going to oblige anybody, because that's, he's much like, you know, whether it's Martin Pospisil or Brad Marchand or, you know, whoever you want to point to who kind of plays that role, Perry's a little bit of a rat, right? And so Perry jumped the captain and gave the captain a few shots, but he wasn't going to be fighting anybody in the third period. So you would have had to jump him, and you would have then put yourself in potentially a disadvantaged spot, because then you're handing a power play to the team you're playing, and the Flames desperately needed the 2 points. So I do think there was probably a little bit of that going through their mind.
Oh, for sure. You know, and even, like, we all seen Draisaitl just getting ramped up, and he was getting shift after shift, you know, and someone's just got to step into him. Even if he doesn't have the puck, just, you know, try to slow him down somehow. You know, he might have cost us a penalty, but, you know, you got to find a way to slow him down. And
see, but the problem with that is that when you're in a game like this and the 2 points are so vitally important, and then you put yourself in a spot where now you're having to kill off a penalty, well, then you maybe hurt yourself and hurt your opportunity to win the game. It's a fine line in a situation like this where the Flames are fighting tooth and nail for a playoff spot, right?
Of course, you know, and I'd be scared too if McDavid was playing, but he wasn't. And, you know, I didn't think their power play looked that great. And, you know, it's just our tenacity and the setting up the structure that we have. We do well cutting that cross-ice pass that sometimes, you know, hurts us. But for the most part, you know, again, it was a tough loss. And I think the hill is really steep to climb. And going forward, you know, I think we got to make some moves at the draft. You know, we have a lot of assets, you know, a lot of draft picks, a lot of prospects. I think we just got to move up and find that player that can, you know, deliver what we're looking for. You know, is it a high-speed, highly skilled forward? I think so. And as well, you know, I love our defense, Weegs and Rasmus and Gavin Ball, but I think we need a little more size back there, myself, my personal thought. But I don't know, we'll see what happens.
All right, Buff, well, you have yourself a great night. I appreciate the call, hey?
Yeah, no problem.
You have be well. You too. Let's keep the phone calls coming at 403-240-4444. Bit of a gut punch overtime loss for the Flames tonight. 3-2 in overtime to the Edmonton Oilers. It's Steinberg along with you, coming at you from Rogers Place here in Edmonton. I got a couple phone lines open if you want to jump in. Let's say hello to Chris. What's going on, Chris?
Hey.
What's up?
Hello?
Chris, what's going on?
Hey, I have a lot to talk about this game.
Okay.
And first of all, I've never been a fan of Blake Coleman coming to Calgary. I know that's going to be kind of an offside, but I've never been a fan of him coming to Calgary.
Okay.
And,
why?
I just didn't like the money-wise. Like, I know it's leadership, but, like, it's the money-wise for me.
Dude, they have like they have got the most cap room in the NHL. They could be paying him $30 million.
It's not that. It's like I like the Huberto. I like everyone else. I've just never been a fan of Coleman. I've never been a fan of Coleman, even like Tampa. I've never been a fan of him.
Okay,
and
well,
my best friend and I were talking about this for a long time, and I just don't like how he plays. I've never liked the style.
All right.
And
what does that have to do with the game tonight, though?
No, I like he looked a little displacent out there a little bit. I've always been a fan of Backlund, and so watching the game today.
You actually thought he looked. You thought he looked displacent.
Yes.
I think you've got some hardcore confirmation bias going on there because I don't think I don't think there is a single game Blake Coleman has ever played where he's been displacing. That guy does not take a shift off. That guy is never lazy. That guy is the epitome of hard work and engagement. I thought he had himself a really strong game tonight. I'm not suggesting that you have to like Blake Coleman. That's not what I'm trying to tell you, but to say that he plays a displacing game or that he looked displacing tonight, I'm gonna disagree with you rather vehemently on that one.
Okay. And I was not really a fan of how Corey Perry was doing Backlund.
That one we can't agree on. I mean, but that's what Corey Perry does, right? Like he tries to get under the skin of other teams'
yes.
top players, and if it means that he needs to put his team shorthanded every once in a while, he'll take that risk and take the risk that his team's going to kill the penalty. And that's what Corey Perry is going to go to the Hall of Fame doing that type of stuff that's part of what has made him who he is through his, you know, he's going to play in this league for two decades when it's all said and done almost.
You know, look on the bright side, at least we have one of the best GMs in hockey. And look also on on Edmonton's goaltending. They have a subpar 900 save percentage going into the playoffs. So that's going to be quite interesting going into the playoffs for them between Picard and Skinner.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. That's going to be quite interesting.
Okay.
So, and you know, how Conroy has kind of changed his team in just a short span, I have been a fan of it. I have been a massive fan of how he's just changed his team. How
yeah.
everything he's done, I've been a massive fan of it.
Well, and I mean, he's still just getting started, right?
Exactly.
So there's a lot still to come when it comes to, I think, his vision of this team. Whether it ends up being a successful build to where he wants to be remains to be seen, but this is still just getting started in a lot of ways.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Be well, Chris. You have yourself a great night, hey?
You too.
Thanks for the call. Phone lines remain open at 403-240-4444. Keep them coming on this Saturday night as the Flames fall 3-2 in overtime to the Edmonton Oilers. It's Pat Steinberg along with you here on your Flames Talk postgame show, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for hanging out with us. The text line remains open at 960-960 as well. Let's head back inside the Flames locker room and hear from the captain. Michael Backlund gives his thoughts following a 3-2 overtime loss to the Edmonton Oilers tonight.
Yeah, that's tough. Thought we played a solid game. Turned over a little too much in the end, which, you know, let's get a little momentum after we score a 2-1 goal. And we need 2 points. It's frustrating that we can't close this one out.
Even though you know the Draisaitl is, you know, one of the better players in the world, it's still much easier said than done in terms of shutting him down. Is that correct?
Yeah, no, you got to give him credit. He's a good player. You can tell he was fresh coming back from his injury, and Yeah, like you said, he's one of the best players. You know, he made some good plays, and that was unfortunately the difference tonight.
How do you guys? I mean, it's two losses in a row now. How do you bounce back from this? What's the thought process?
Yeah, it's thought process the same as every game. After every game, now we gotta move on. Next game is our biggest game. We gotta find a way to get 2 points on our next game and in Colorado. So that's been our mindset the whole time here down the stretch. Every game is so important for us. So we gotta turn a page quick. You know, that's what the boys did on the road trip too. After losing 3 in a row, we find a way to win 4 in a row. So that's what we gotta do again.
There you go. That is Michael Backlund, the captain, post-game tonight. Flames lose it 3-2 in overtime to the Edmonton Oilers. We're at Rogers Place in Edmonton. It's your Flames Talk post-game show on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's time for tonight's Save of the Game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. Dustin Wolf gets the start in net tonight, and Dustin Wolf's Save of the Game comes in period number 3.
The Oilers regain possession. Draisaitl busting in. Drops it to Podkolzin, who centers it. Arvidsson a shot. Great save by Wolf. A game saver, maybe a season saver by the Flames rookie goalie.
And that ends up being, when it's all said and done, one of the 26 stops made by Dustin Wolf tonight, and that is his save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes donates $5 to Kidsport Calgary. Visit ShaneHolmes.com, the better way to build. As it is last call for phone calls, if you want to jump in, now's the time to do so. 403-240-4444, and keep your text coming at 960-960. Tonight's game has been brought to you by South Point Toyota. This is your Flames Talk post-game show, and this is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Flames Talk post-game show continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, your final score here at Rogers Place in Edmonton. Final score, Flames lose it 3-2 in overtime to the Oilers. Leon Draisaitl, 50 and 51, the game-tying and game-winning goals on this Saturday night. It's Pat Steinberg along with you as we continue along from Rogers Place as our Flames Talk post-game show continues. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcast, live right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Now back to the phone lines, back to the text line very shortly, but now our final look inside the Flames locker room. Big goal from Braden Pahal in the first 8 minutes of the third period to give the Flames a 2-1 lead. And let's hear from Braden Pahal postgame tonight.
Braden, how tough is this loss to swallow for you guys?
Yeah, it's tough. You know, we kind of blew it at the end there. And these 2 points are the most important thing at this time of the year in the race that we're in. So it's disappointing to lose that one tonight.
Can you just take us through the third period? And I mean, you had the lead, and then just what happened after that?
Yeah, I think, you know, we played well, and then we just kind of started, you know, sitting back again, and that's when they kind of took control and started getting more chances on our net.
The overall effort, though, I mean, the first two periods, you feel like you were playing the exact sort of game you wanted to play?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, we played pretty well for 55, 56 minutes, but, you know, more victories don't matter right now. We came here for the 2 points and we didn't get it.
Is it sometimes one of those things where you got to tip your cap? I mean, he's the best scorer in the NHL right now, and he had 2 incredible shots.
Yeah, absolutely. Tough. Absolutely. I think, you know, he's an incredible player, and it's cool to watch him out there. But, you know, at the end of the day, we got to find a way to shut him down and finish off the game.
What did you see in your goal?
I think it was just kind of a broken play. Naz tried to make a play up into the slot, and it squeezed out to me. And then there was a lot of traffic, so I just tried to get it through and get it on the net, and happened to find its way in.
That is Braden Pahal. Big goal, unfortunately, doesn't get the Flames 2 points tonight, but it still was a big goal for Pahal tonight. His thoughts post-game, and I think that he kind of echoes a lot of what many Flames fans are thinking tonight, and that is, good effort, but the moral victories at this point kind of a little hollow with only now 10 games to go this season. Okay, back to the text line we go. That's our final look inside the Flames locker room. We heard from Braden Pahal. We heard from Michael Backlund. We heard from Nazem Kadri. And, of course, we heard from head coach Ryan Huska. On the text line, 960-960, Ash writes, good to see the 2 healthy scratches from the previous game. Both score goals. To me, the same prevailing theme of no killer instinct on the power play with a lead was a factor in today's loss. Finally, as good as Huberdeau's been this season, I think he's been very ineffective at 3-on-3. And should not be playing in such situations. Your thoughts? No, I don't think that he should be not playing. I think that he is one of, like, when they had Uyghur, Kadri, Huberdeau out there to start overtime, in my eyes, that was your best trio to start overtime. And I think Huberdeau's been much better 3-on-3 this year than he was in his first 2 years with the Flames. So not completely on board with that one myself, Ash. This reads, good evening, Pat. I know they got a single point, but at this juncture, still feels like a letdown. I might be the only one who is so dang frustrated by this freaking loss. The Oilers are playing their second string goalie, yet the Flames couldn't capitalize. It adds salt to the wound when the German scored the overtime goal. It's hard to draw any positives when they lose to that nasty team up north. Sorry for ranting, but thank you for being there so we can let off steam. No problem. And definitely, you're not the only one feeling that frustration tonight. Sean says, no retribution, no win, no playoffs, diminished draft position, no future. Good, they have Parekh. Most teams have a good prospect, so that won't make them good. So disheartening to be a fan of this team. This reads, Pat was at the game tonight and thought they played really well. Coronado and Kadri especially looked great to me. Farabee really perplexes me because he works hard and puts himself in good positions but just can't finish. Anyways, Pat, as Boomer once said, you can call me what you want, just don't call me late to dinner. I texted Boomer tonight because I saw his old buddy Cam Moon. Wanted to say hi to Boomer and say hello every once in a while. Matt says, no shame tonight. Leon is Leon. I play men's league and I tip my cap to great plays. Go Flames. This reads, texted it a few times this season, insisting they were finishing ninth, which was a nightmare scenario for me to start the season. I have to admit, it hasn't been all bad. The players have really played well, and I believe their value has increased, which could be beneficial entering the 2026 draft, the next year following the summer. This reads, Vladar should have been the goalie tonight. I don't hear any comments anymore about Wolf for the Calder Trophy. Wolf does look tired. In general, the Flames have overachieved. Well, I would say a big reason why they've overachieved, though, is because of Dustin Wolf and how well he's played this year. Should it have been Vladar? Should it have been Wolf? I mean, yeah, you can debate that, but I still hear plenty of Wolf for the Calder Trophy, and I still think he should very much be right there in the mix for the Calder Trophy. This from Jesse in Red Deer. 3 goals on Wolf, all blocker side. Are we seeing a chink in the armor of the rookie? I love the Wolfman, but it seems he plays better in games where he's the underdog, like when he won in Winnipeg, contrasted with when Wolf is playing a big game with big expectations like this one and last. Pat, is this rookie syndrome, nerves on the big day, or is it hard to carry the whole team on your back day after day through 82 games? Well, I mean, the first one, yeah, it was blocker side, but it was also post-to-post cross seam. I don't know how you were expecting Wolf to stop the Arvidsson goal. The other two, yeah, blocker side for sure, that Draisaitl shot, and Draisaitl's got one of the most deceptive shots in the league. Could that be something that teams are looking at? Sure, but then I also expect if that is the case, like if there is a little hole in the armor, then I expect Dustin, he's too smart to not patch that up and figure it out. So maybe it is something that, and I'm not even sure, but let's just say for the sake of the argument that it is, well, then he'll figure it out because he always does. It's kind of what he's done throughout his career. Whether he's tired, whether it's him getting towards the end of the season, whether it's been having all the expectations on him all year long, any of those things could be true, but I also don't think this loss is on Dustin Wolf's shoulders. I really don't. Fish says, do you think the playoffs are still a possibility? They're pretty far out, even with games in hand. I mean, it's definitely an uphill climb. I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat how much these last... They basically have given up 3 points the last 2 games on nights where one of them they absolutely should have won, and the other one tonight they could have won. So... Yeah, I do think that it's an uphill climb. There's no doubt about it. Now, they have not updated the latest over at Money Puck on their playoff odds. They won't do that again until tomorrow morning. I would guess the Flames will exit the night around 15% to make the playoffs. They were 18.4% after St. Louis won, and the Flames lose in overtime. I would guess they'll be around 15% to make the playoffs. There's no sugarcoating it that this is a very large uphill climb, but I also believe that this is a group that's going to stick with it right till the very end. Sid in Vancouver says, Flames fans should be proud of their team this year. How do you think we feel in Vancouver? Such a huge step back for the Canucks this year. And those happen. And I do think most fans are proud of the Flames here in Calgary. This says, always terrible to lose to the Oilers. Had high hopes for this game after the great effort in the Dallas game. Do you think these last few games have hurt Dustin Wolf's odds at the Calder? What does Dustin have to do to put himself in the best situation to win the Calder for the rest of the season moving forward? Well, I think he just keeps on playing and playing well. Do I think he's going to win the Calder? Probably not. Do I think he should be a Calder finalist? Yeah, I do. Do I think he is deserving of being in the Calder conversation? 1,000% I do. Just based on the way that trophy is voted on, though, I'm not holding my breath that he ends up winning it. I'm just, you know, being honest with you. This from Kevin, who says, I love their 5-on-5 game. Did not like their power play, especially in the third. They need to add some killer instinct. And I'm with you, Kev. I quite like their 5-on-5 game until the third, when I thought their 5-on-5 game was actually pretty poor, if I'm being honest. It's not poor, but I felt like they allowed the Oilers to start turning the tide and allowed the Oilers to come at them in waves, and that allowed the Oilers to tie it and eventually win the game. This from Chris, I won a big parlay tonight with blocks from Uyghur and Anderson. Those guys dig in defensively. They do, and they have a ton of blocks to their name this year. Uyghur with 4 more block shots tonight. Rasmus with 5 more block shots tonight. What else we got here at 960? Joe says they lost the game and the fights. Just losers in every which way. Never been so ashamed to be a Flames fan. This reads from the Beeve. Going way up. I'm just really worried they're going to be stuck in the murky middle. If not for Wolf, they'd be a bottom five team this year. Anderson, Coleman, and Backlund would have been moved at the deadline. I see a world where they get moved this offseason, not Backlund until next year at the deadline. It's a good-bad problem with Wolf. They'll never be bad enough to get good and never be good enough to be relevant unless they bottom out. What's the best case for this group? A wild card. The way the league is moving, unless you're a top dog, you're not accomplishing anything. We saw it really for the first time this year. Top team really build up. Top teams really build up when they add more. When we add more teams, the watered down league is only going to get more murky. Am I bad for hoping they really bottom out next year? I really feel that unless they get 1 to 2 of those type players, it won't matter. This team has to play so good to win. They can't play bad and win. That's just the murky talent level. Props to Kadri and Huberdeau and Uyghur. They play every night. This might be Naz's best season when it comes to his impact on the game. And again, I understand what you're saying. I do about the mushy middle and not getting the quality players or the elite players. I do understand that sentiment. I really do. We'll see what Wolf ends up being. He could be one of those guys, and feels like he might be trending in that direction. And we'll see what we'll see what it ends up looking like with Zane Parekh as well. And you know, there's a lot of people still believe this draft that the Flames just had in 2024 is one of the best drafts in a long time for any team. And they still have 2 first round picks this year. They got 2 first round picks next year. Like the where they're going hasn't been determined yet. That is still being determined as we move towards year 2 of kind of Craig Conroy's plan here. This says the 3 games in hand mean they're not done yet. Just like Crowded House said, don't dream it's over. It ain't over yet. That's from Matt and Seaton. This says from Bruce, if only Sam Bennett could have done a pull-up, the Flames could have had Draisaitl. I often wonder about that. Finally, this says, Pat, Oilers fan here, but I've really respected the way the Flames have played and worked this season. Tuning in randomly to hear what Flames fans are seeing, the Wolf text tonight baffle me. Cross-crease one-timer and two perfect shots from the top goal scorer in the league. Not sure how he gets blamed for this one. You guys should watch Oilers goalies play sometimes. Then you can see a goalie give a game away. And I do agree with that. I don't think this one lies on Wolf. I mean, again, cross seam finish, Draisaitl to Arvidsson to make it 1-1, and then Draisaitl with two perfect shots, and he's got 50 and 51 this year. I find it really hard to lay this one on the shoulders of Dustin Wolf. Great stuff on the text line tonight at 960-960. And let's get back to the phone lines for the last time this evening. Got a few calls to get to before we wrap up our Flames Talk post-game show here on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. My name is Pat Steinberg. Flames lose this one 3-2 in overtime to the Edmonton Oilers. Let's say hello to Jerry on the phone lines. What's up, Jerry?
Hello, my man.
What's going on?
I was not going to call until I got pissed off. And I got, I'm sorry, I hope that language isn't
that's
too,
okay.
I don't
that
think
one's
that's
all right.
Too bad. Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to go any further language-wise. This dude, I think his name was Chris, he doesn't like Coleman. Like, does this guy know anything about hockey or what?
He's entitled to his opinion.
Yeah, of course he is, but he doesn't know anything about hockey.
I'm not going to go that far.
That's my opinion, and I believe you agreed with me.
I don't agree that Coleman's a poor player. I'm a big Blake Coleman guy. I'm not going to say that that means a guy knows nothing about hockey, though.
Well, that's why I called in. I was happily playing my backgammon online, listening to the show. That call came in, and that's why I called, because are you kidding me? What team in the NHL would not take him?
I agree with that. I don't understand why Coleman would be somebody that would be tops on your I don't like that player list, but it is what it is.
No kidding. Anyways, that's what got me fired up. Number two, we've talked before. I don't know if you remember me at all. I call about every couple of months. I'm the international hockey nut. Anyways.
Yes, I remember.
Number two, Corey Perry. He has won every single thing you can win in hockey.
Yes.
Every single thing you can win in hockey, and he's tough and he's an agitator. I'm a Flame fan. I am a Corey Perry is a Canadian hockey legend.
Yeah,
I don't like this dude. It's the same dude. It's the same dude that doesn't like Coleman. And, okay, he's a Flames fan. Yeah, Corey Perry got in there. He's fighting for his team. Give me a break, buddy.
No, yeah, I'll be on. Like, I don't like watching Corey Perry succeed either. Like, he's a very easy player to dislike. Now, I don't mean it like I don't like seeing him succeed in life, but in a hockey game, you're kind of like, okay, that's one of the most easily dislikable players in the NHL. Brad Marchand's a Canadian hockey hero and a Canadian hockey legend.
Yeah,
he's in the same conversation. Drew Doughty's a Canadian hockey legend, and I'm Drew Doughty, Brad Marchand, and Corey Perry, all Canadian hockey legends. And if I was a fan of a team and they were playing again, I would despise all of them. But that's part of what makes them who they are.
Well, I disagree because.
That's
fine. It's Canada number one for me, and I just love the way they play hockey, and they're all legends. So, anyways, this other guy, Coleman and Perry, I don't want to talk about it. Coronado tonight, I love the guy. He was invisible.
Yeah, I didn't think he was as strong tonight as he's been. Had a couple of I thought that defensively he had a couple of solid moments, but you know, in terms of making a big impact offensively, I didn't see a ton from Coronado tonight.
Yeah, we kind of needed that tonight.
Yeah, and I mean, it. Yeah, I thought that, you know, that line of him, Frost, and Huberdeau was pretty meh tonight. Generally, yeah. It's been pretty good. Didn't like it as much tonight, though.
Yeah, we needed it tonight. My next point, I wrote these down because you forget stuff. Morgan Frost, he's got skill. Do something, dude. Do something.
And he's been much more dangerous of late. And you know, it's felt for a little while like maybe he's on the cusp of breaking through. Didn't feel that the same way tonight, though.
I heard you say that for a few games there. I've heard you, Patty, I've heard you say that for a few games. It's not happening.
It's not, and I don't feel quite like that after this game tonight. Didn't feel like he had quite the same type of impact tonight.
Yeah, it's frustrating because you can see the skill, you can see the moves, you can see the skating. I think it might be he can't get into the dirty areas.
Yeah, I mean, that is an area that has been, you know, part of the development area for Frost. Like, I do think he needs to fight a little bit harder and battle a little bit harder in some of those areas to get himself into it. I think that's probably fair.
I mean, that could be a good reason why Philly got rid of him. There's no doubt about his skill, but I don't think he gets into those dirty areas where he can make some damage.
Yeah, and I think it's an area that he's going to need to continue working at for sure. But I do think he will, and I think that the coaching staff is going to work with him on that.
Like, he's not a kid. He's 24, 25, right?
Yeah, I believe he'll be 26 here in May.
Yeah. So, anyways, that's that. I only have a couple more, dude. The Draisaitl tying goal. I love Wolf to death. Everybody does. He was just too far into his crease.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe, but again, I don't know if you're expecting Draisaitl to shoot there, because usually you're talking about a team. Usually you don't see guys shoot that outside on 3-on-3. They'll try to set up a much more higher percentage play. So I don't know. I find it hard to put too much blame on Wolf when he allowed goal 50 and 51.
Yeah, no, I obviously, like I said, I love the guy. Just on that goal, he made, in my opinion, he made a mistake. He was just a little bit too far into the crease, and Draisaitl had too much room. Okay, I only got three more. Really quick. Kadri, he's getting better with age.
Yeah, he's having a hell of a year, man.
He's got such emotion and drive. Just love the guy. He's 34, 35?
34, yeah.
Yep. What a great year. Two more. Hitman game Sunday, Saskatoon. Tomorrow, I'm going. 2:00.
Okay.
Yep. And
go
one
Hitman.
More. One more. Centennial Cup is coming here. I have tried to volunteer. You would not believe how hard it is to volunteer. I gave them a criminal record. I gave them everything. I gave them every information I need. Then they want you to give them $50 so you can have a jersey and a meal. And I gave up. Like, I'm a hockey nut. I live 5-minute drive to Max Bell. There were so many hoops and barrels, I just gave up. I'm just going to buy tickets and go. I am so disappointed in Hockey Canada as how hard it is
Jared, I don't really know. I don't have much to say on that one. So
okay, no, I'm sorry. I understand, and it's a little bit not what we're talking about. I'm just kind of venting because I really tried hard, and now I just gave up because they want so much, and I'm volunteering for crying out loud. Anyways, I don't expect you to comment on that. I think I've covered everything, and I really appreciate you taking my call, Pat.
Good to hear from you, Jerry. We'll talk soon, pal.
You got her, brother.
Okay, man. Be well. Thank you for the call. Got time for a few more on this Saturday night into Sunday morning. Let's say hello to Dale on the phone line. What's going on, Dale?
Hey, Pat. How's it going? It's Dale from Drumheller. I'm a pretty frequent texter and occasional
caller. Yo, it's Dale from Drum. Nice. How we doing?
Yes, sir. Good. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. I'll try not to keep you on here too long. I'm sure you'd like to start heading south as soon as possible, but just a couple observations. I'm more of a glass half full guy. I don't know if you've noticed that from my previous texts, but just kind of some observations and some things that I'd like to point out that probably have to happen over the next 10 games if they want to sneak in, but especially would apply to next season for sure.
Okay.
Would you say that it's a fair comparison to compare the type of game that the Calgary Flames are trying to play this season to the Los Angeles Kings, like how the Los Angeles Kings don't really have a guy that's a bona fide superstar point per game guy. Like Adrian Kempe leads that team with 58 points. Same with Kadri and Huberto, both have 58 points, but they just kind of muck and grind. They have good goaltending. They just get depth scoring and they just kind of grind you down. Would you say that's a fair comparison for what the Flames are trying to do?
Yeah, I mean, and the way they're built, yeah, maybe. I mean, the one thing the Kings do have is, they do have a potential number one center going forward, in Quinton Byfield, and, you know, the Flames don't have that. But I mean, yeah, it's actually not all that dissimilar. Kings maybe propped up a little bit less by one goaltender, compared to the Flames. But yeah, I mean, that's a decent comparison for sure. And, you know, maybe the negative side of that would be is that I don't think anybody expects the LA Kings to win the Stanley Cup, right? Like they're a team that, you know, is going to make the playoffs again, and they're going to face the Oilers in the playoffs again, and we'll see how that goes. But does anybody look at the LA Kings and say that group's going to win the Stanley Cup? Probably not.
100% fair enough, right? And like I 100% agree with what you said about Quinton Byfield, but just talking about this season, just for right now, he doesn't.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. Yeah. If you're just comparing, like if you're just looking at this season, that's a fair comparison. Yeah.
For right now, yeah, just looking at this season. So the thing that I would say that the LA Kings also have over us is that they are getting a little bit more secondary scoring, which is funny because it seems like we do talk a lot about the Flames having a lot of scoring by committee going on, and this might be a little bit of recency bias just based on like the last road trip and the last couple home games. But it's funny because we look at the Flames as a team that needs to score by committee, but then Kadri, Huberto, and Coronado, I crunched the numbers quick, and they've scored 40% of this team's goals between the three of them. So it's funny, like I said, I mean, looking at the next 10 games optimistically, but then especially looking at next season, I think it's really going to rely on our secondary scores just producing just a little bit more. Like guys like I think Connor Zary is easily a 20-goal scorer in this league. I think that guys like, obviously, Matt Coronado, he's at 20 right now. I think he could be 25, 30. Guys like Morgan Frost, Joel Farabee, I could see them both putting up 20. Farabee, he scored 25 before, right? So just getting a little bit extra secondary scoring going down the stretch this next 10 games, assuming that they're going to need like 7 wins, right? You're going to need some goals from those type of guys. And I know that they've been around it, but like they've got to start going in, right? Whether it's next season or just over these next 10 games, right?
Yeah, and I do think that secondary scoring is absolutely an area that I think this team could stand to get some more of, because they're a low scoring team, but also, you know, in terms of percentages of who's doing what, You're getting a lot from Huberdeau and Kadri especially, and then Coronado on the goal-scoring side of things on top of it. So, you know, I think Huberdeau's kind of in the same ballpark in terms of how much offense he's contributed to the team this year as he was in his 115-point season back in 21-22. So, you know, there's definitely a need for more secondary scoring going forward, no doubt.
100%. And it's just funny, like, if you go look at, like, the top 10 scorers between the LA Kings and the Calgary Flames, I won't stick on this point for too long, but it's just funny. You look down, like, the Kings are getting, like, 15 goals from guys like Trevor Moore, Alex Laferriere, and so on and so on. And they're getting, and they have lots of different guys on their team that have 6, 7, 8 goals. It's funny, if you go on the NHL app and you sort by the Flames' top 10 scorers this year, 10th is actually Anthony Mantha, believe it or not, with his 4 goals in 13 games. So I just thought that was a little bit funny, but it kind of sells the point that we need a little bit more secondary scoring.
Yeah.
So, anyways, moving on from that point, the other thing that I think that the Flames are really going to have to improve on, this is probably a little bit more next season, but hopefully this next 10 games as well, is the faceoff dot, right? And I think we've talked about that a lot. And it really is tough not having a right-handed center right now, because obviously we know that whenever the Flames end up on a penalty kill, they have to send Backlund out there, but he ends up taking the draw on his weak side every single time, right? So I think that sometimes it's a little bit underestimated by the average person just how important it is to start a play with the possession, right? Like, losing faceoffs is just a killer, and we're so close. I actually don't know if we're at the bottom of the league or just close to the bottom of the league.
They're close. I can quickly go tell you, they're close. They have not been a good faceoff team all year, and they're not going to be a good faceoff team. They are 30th. 45.8%. Bringing Frost in helped a little bit, and definitely gave them a little bit of a boost. But yeah, I mean, they don't have it. You're right. They don't have a right-handed center, and that hurts. And they're not going to have a right-handed center for the rest of the year. I don't know if they're going to be able to find a right-handed center before next season either. So yeah, that is absolutely an area that they'll need to improve on. I do think Frost for a full season next year will help. From there, they can find somebody in the off season to help in that regard. You know, maybe you could get more of a, I don't want to say specialist, but, you know, I do think Kevin Rooney will be elsewhere next year. So can you find somebody who can step in and be an upgrade there and give you some bottom six face-off wins, something like that, like, you know, kind of similar to what we saw from Derek Ryan, whether it was here in Edmonton or when Ryan was playing with the Flames. Like, could you find somebody like that? That's certainly something that they should, and I think probably will be, Dale, they probably will be looking at those things this summer.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what they do, because, yeah, like you said, there's not much they can do over the next 10 games. And I will say that I did actually notice that Morgan Frost did win a couple key faceoffs tonight, so I will give him props for that. And I would agree with the sentiment that he has been around it, and he's very close. He might be gripping the stick like 10% too hard right now, but I think he's around it. He's given lots of effort, and like we've talked about before, Frost and Farabee are just kind of getting over that whole Tortorella thing, right? And I think that they're going to come into, hopefully, like I said, next 10 games, for sure next season, with just a little bit more confidence, because I think that they are good players. But yeah, and I would be interested to see what they do for a right-handed center in the offseason. Like, I've had my eye on a lot of different guys, even veterans. I know we're trying to go younger, but guys like, maybe you could bring in a Kevin Stenlund or even a guy like a young guy like, what's his name, Mitchell Stevens out of Seattle, if he needs a spot to be a fourth line center, like guys like that, like you said, Derek Ryan, similar guys. So it'll be interesting to see what they do there. But yeah, I believe that's all I had for you tonight. Like I said, I'm pretty optimistic. I'm just hoping that they can play some good hockey over the next 10 games, because worst case scenario, it's just good for some of these younger guys to be playing meaningful games down the stretch, right? And we have lots of good prospects in the system that I'm feeling confident in. And then, yeah, hopefully we can get a little bit more secondary scoring from these younger guys next year, and maybe hopefully develop into a LA type team.
Yeah.
We'll see.
All right, Dale, we'll keep texting and call back anytime, man. You have yourself a great rest of your night.
Will do. Thanks for taking my call, Pat. Hopefully you can get out of that city as soon as possible.
I'm with you. Thanks, Dale. Appreciate that. You too, man. That will start to wrap us up on the phone lines tonight. Thanks for all your phone calls. Thanks for all of your texts. And we'll do it all over again on Monday night. A late finish on this Saturday. Not only was an 8-10 puck drop, but then we also had the 15-minute delay with the pretty scary medical emergency that happened in the stands. So that's why it's a little bit later than normal on this Saturday as we start to move towards our final summary. Here's how we got to our final score here. 3-2, Oilers beat the Flames in overtime. Flames never trailed tonight as Yegor Sharangovich had the opening goal in this game. Back in the lineup, Sharangovich returns, and 4:32 into the first period, he picks up a rebound to make it 1-0 Calgary. Sharangovich picks up his 13th from Nazem Kadri and Braden Pahal, and it was 1-0 Flames. However, Edmonton ties it at 16:20 of the second period. Victor Arvidsson with his 11th of the year. Arvidsson from Leon Draisaitl and Darnell Nurse, and we had a 1-1 tie after 40 minutes of play. So we go to the third period, and by the way, on that assist that Nazem Kadri picked up in the first period was his 700th career point. Wanted to make sure I point that out as well. So we go to the third period, tied 1-1, and things got really interesting at the 7:55 mark where the Flames go back out in front. Braden Pahal steps into the high slot and rips it past Calvin Pickard for the go-ahead goal. Calvin Pickard. Braden Pahal rips home his third of the year to make it 2-1 Calgary. Kadri the only assist at 7:55, and the Flames in good shape. But the Oilers really pushed from there, and at 16:48, with just over 3 minutes to go, they tie it. And who else back in the lineup after missing four games? Leon Draisaitl rips home his 50th goal of the season to tie it 2-2. Fourth career 50-goal season for Draisaitl. Evan Bouchard, Darnell Nurse, the assist at 16:48 to make it 2-2. Off to overtime we go, and who else would win it other than Draisaitl? His 51st of the year is the game winner in overtime at 2:25 from Jeff Skinner, and that gets us to our 3-2 final score. Final shots were 29-28 in favor of the Oilers. Calgary goes 0-3 on the power play tonight. Edmonton 0-1. On the man advantage, your three stars in the building. Number three, Victor Arvidsson. Number two, Braden Pahal. And your number one star with 2 goals and 3 points tonight was Leon Draisaitl. Hardest working Flame, as selected by Megan Mickelson tonight, was also Braden Pahal. With the loss, or overtime loss, Flames fall to 34-26-12. They're back in action Monday on the road in Colorado, while Edmonton improves to 42-26-5. They're back in action Tuesday on the road in Vegas. That is your final summary, and now for everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson, for our co-host Maddie Rose, for our on-site technical producer here at Rogers Place, Jerry Dombrowski, and for outstanding producer back in Calgary, Azam Ali Nanji. My name is Pat Steinberg. That'll start to wrap us up on our Flames Talk post-game show, which is available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Next up for the Flames, it is into Colorado on Monday night. It is a note the start time, 6:30 face-off, so we'll be on the air at 5:30 with your Calgary Flames warm-up. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your weekend. Final score here from Rogers Place in Edmonton. Flames fall 3-2 in overtime to the Oilers. This has been your Flames Talk post-game show, available wherever you get your podcasts, and this has been Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.